Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
We're just delighted and honored that you have joined us. Samantha, have you been watching the meteor showers, or have you been like me and not get up in the middle of the night?
I have not gotten up in the middle of the night, but I've wanted to.
I know. It's so cool, isn't it? So welcome, everybody. We are delighted and honored that you are joining us, if you are joining us live. On Sunday night, we are just so happy to have you. And whenever you are listening to this later in the week, we are also delighted to have you with us. Our topic tonight is our monthly Tarot archetype show, and we're going to be talking about the Chariot as we move our way through the major arcana of Tarot. But before we get to that, as per usual, we have a meditation of the week, a crystal of the week, and an animal of the week. Samantha, where would you like to start?
We can start with the crystal of the week if you'd like.
That'd be great, thanks.
Okay. So since the chariot that we're going to be talking about in a little bit has to do with feeling successful and strong and safe in your own skin so that you can kind of jump out and accomplish some goals and dreams, I thought I would discuss a crystal that represents all of that. And so Deb and I talked about it, and we thought red jasper kind of was a good stone to represent the energy of the chariot. So I'm going to read a little bit about red jasper from a wonderful and very informative website called crystalvaults.com. And on there they say that jasper, as we know, it's a really common stone, and it's been revered, I mean, for ages. It used to be known as a rain bringer, and it was used in rain ceremonies. The name jasper can be traced back to Arabic, Persian, Hebrew, Assyrian, Greek, and Latin origins. So it's a really ancient stone. Historically, red jasper was known as a stone of vibrancy and endurance, a talisman of warriors and a promoter of justice, protection, and life. It's said that it staunched the blood of wounds, stirred the pulse, and increased fertility. And according to Viking and Germanic legend, the hilt of the magical sword of Siegfried the Dragon Slayer was inlaid with red jasper to bring him courage. The ancient Egyptians linked red jasper with the fertilizing blood of Mother Isis and often carved it into protective amulets to be placed upon the neck of the deceased, engraved with the 156th chapter of the Book of the Dead. Based on the stones known and used at the time of the Hebrew Exodus, it is believed red jasper was likely the ruby listed in the Bible. It was also called the blood of Mother Earth by Native Americans and was used to stimulate health and rebirth new ideas and strategies and to increase one's sensitivity, especially when dowsing for water or calling on rain. Today, red jasper is still known as the stone of endurance, a gentle but vital stimulator of chi or life force, bringing physical strength, energy, stamina, focus, and determination. Its steady frequency calms the emotional body, creating a lasting, stable energy for improving health or overcoming illness, setting goals, and following through to completion, facing unpleasant tasks, and having the courage to rectify wrongs. Red jasper activates the base chakra and stimulates the rise of the kundalini energy through the chakras, cleansing and strengthening the aura as it does so. It is a stone of passion, useful for restoring and rejuvenating the libido and in manifesting creative ideas. It provides vivid dream recall and is a powerful stone for those who work with earth energies to make a deep connection with earth spirits and guardians of the lays and sacred sites. So that's a pretty powerful stone.
It is. Red jasper is an amazing rock. It's amazing what is all built up into that one little red stone, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. You can keep one in your car for protection.
Yeah.
It's a good one for that. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right. So let me do the meditation, shall I?
Yes.
Okay, good. So if it is safe for you to do so, please close your eyes and take a deep breath and relax your shoulders and just let the world around you drift away. And imagine yourself on a beautiful desert where the sand ripples almost like undulating waves in front of you. And you're in this beautiful desert, and you're cocooned in these beautiful, soft, white clothing that are very cool. And it's beautiful and bright, and the sky is an electric blue. And as you look around you, you see, not in the very distant distance, pyramids. And so you walk towards these pyramids. And as you approach, they are massive. You're just in awe of this massive, massive pyramid. And guarding this very small doorway are two sphinxes, one on each side of the doorway. And by some trick of light, one almost seems to be in shadow, the one on your left as you're facing the door. And the other on the right seems bright and almost blinding white. And as you stand facing this pyramid with a sphinx on either side, the door opens inward. And it's almost as if you are pulled inside this pyramid. And once you're inside, it's cool and soft and dark, but dark in a way that you can still see all around you. It's almost as if there is light bouncing off the walls. And you realize that you're not in a pyramid like you may think of the ancient pyramids that we know in Egypt. But this is your own special pyramid that is your own power source. And as you look around you, you see all over the floor pyramids of differing sizes made of brilliantly different stones. There's an amethyst pyramid and a rose quartz pyramid and clear quartz pyramids and pyramids made of lapis and pyramids made of every stone you can imagine. It's as if you are standing inside a pyramid surrounded by pyramids that represent every color in your chakra system. And it's as if the energy from these amazing stones are vibrating and filling you with wonderful sacred energy that's balanced and kind and nurturing. And at the same time, because of the shape of the pyramids, the energy that is of these beautiful stones and the pyramid itself rises up, 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 taking with them all of the energy and love that you and all that surrounds you can send up and outward and away from this pyramid and out into the universe around you. And you know that being inside this pyramid with all these crystal pyramids around you is a safe place. It is a transition place for you. It is a place where that which you have been lays the foundation for who you will become. Take a deep breath and know that you can come back into this amazing pyramid anytime you need or want to do so in the future. And say thank you to the energy and love inside this pyramid and walk back outside and into the desert and take a deep breath. And when you are ready, flutter your eyes open and come back into the room.
Very, very nice. And powerful. That's a good one to listen to again. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. And so let me tell you about animals.
Okay.
Because when we get to talking about the chariot in a few minutes, we're going to see that in the traditional tarot, the chariot is being pulled by two sphinx. But what do we normally think of as the four-legged person who pulls a chariot?
Right. I was about to say lion for some reason. I don't know where that came from. Okay, yeah, it's two horses.
Yeah, horses. And, you know I talked about horses, but I don't remember when. And, you know, so it bears to repeat. And so let's do this. Horses represent travel and power and freedom. And that's one of the things I want to focus on. There's so much lore about horses. I mean, we know that the Norse god Odin, for example, rode on an eight-legged steed. In the Hindu tradition, the chariot of the sun god is pulled by stallions, as is the chariot of Apollo in Greek mythology. In Chinese astrology, the horse is associated with appeal and persuasiveness. Horses are symbols of freedom. They are friendly and adventurous, and they can be very emotional. I'm working here tonight from Ted Andrews, by the way, just if anybody wants to read the details of what I'm skimming across here. So horse gave humans the ability to explore and find freedom and to move about. That was the gift that the horse nation gave to the two-legged people. And so they were given, and I found this interesting, again, this is from Ted Andrews, horses were given powers of divination. More than one legend speaks of the clairvoyance of horses and their ability to recognize those involved in magic. They are symbols that can express the magical side of humans. Who knew? I did not know that.
No, I did not either.
I had no idea. So if you are somebody who is attracted to horse energy, it may be time to examine aspects of travel and freedom within your life. Are you feeling constricted? Do you need to move or allow others to move on? Is it time to assert your freedom and your power in new areas? Are you doing your part to assist civilization with your own environment? Are you honoring what this civilization has given you? Horses bring with it new journeys. It will teach you how to ride into new directions to awaken and discover your own freedom and power.
Very, very nice.
About that.
You know, I always think of horses kind of the same way I think of dolphins, as being kind of therapeutic for humans, too.
Absolutely, they are. I mean, we even have, where we live, therapeutic riding organizations.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so are you ready to start talking about the chariot? Or first we were going to kind of give people an overview of what the archetype means, because we were saying how we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, and let's do that. Let's back up and just really just look at the word archetype. Because, you know, sometimes it's important to understand why. So what we're talking about when we use the term archetype, it has to do with that, with symbols in multicultures that really represent what Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist, called collectively inherited unconscious ideas, patterns of thoughts, images that are universally present in individual psyches. For example, when we think of certain Greek gods or goddesses, for example, there is an archetype connected with them. When we think of Hercules, for example, just that word brings the image of strength and power and physical abilities, and that's an archetype in the Jungian sense of the word. We also think of archetypes in literature. For example,
like the villain, the hero,
right. The hero, the clown, the, you know, those kinds of symbols, and even certain characters. I don't know. I was thinking about Catcher in the Rye this afternoon. I don't know why I was thinking about Catcher in the Rye, but Holland Caulfield, I'm trying to get his name out. Certainly
Caulfield
has become a symbol. or Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman. A lot of the Shakespearean characters. So we think of our paintings, you know, Mona Lisa's smile, for example. So we see these kinds of symbols in various unrelated areas of classical storytelling, media, etc., when in fact we really do begin to see a connection. And the cool thing about them is that they're cross-culture. And one of the things that Jung did in his research on the collective unconscious was he studied Tarot as a way of looking at archetypes and symbols that are universal in the human consciousness and the human psyche. So that's where the concept of our archetype discussions have come from in working our way through the Tarot. So there's a little background for everybody, just a little reading.
Yeah, and how you can apply these discussions to your life, in my opinion, is you can start to bring an awareness to asking yourself the question, from which archetype am I living my life today? And then asking yourself, from which archetype do I wish to live my life? There's a very big difference often. And I think it's important just to have that awareness. You know, I think I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago how a lot of people I was coming into contact with were working from a servant archetype. You know, how can I serve rather than, you know, just totally focused on giving instead of receiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have another client and she came to me for coaching kind of to discover more about her archetypes. And we discovered, well, she discovered, that she was working from the prostitute archetype. That's an archetype. Did you know that? I'm sure you
certainly
did.
Did.
But she was, it's not that she was a prostitute or anything like that, but everything that she did was focused on selling and get, you know, she runs a very lucrative eBay store. So everything that she held, touched, or looked at, she would think, can I sell this? So we talked about like moving her away from that, you know, everything is for sale archetype and into a more success-oriented archetype. But anyway, so that's what I like about discussing the archetypes is just thinking, you know, what archetype am I living my life from now? And is that the archetype I wish to be living my life from, you know, a month or a year from now? And just as like, you know, I always say, and Deb always says, that life is like a spider web in that we are all connected. And if you do something on one side of the web, you feel it on the other side of the web. When Deb and I say, like, you can call on this archetype to blah, 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 I'm sure some of you are thinking, what the heck does that mean, call on this archetype? Well, to me, it means just that. Like, you kind of tug that little line of the spider web and say, I'd like to call on this archetype. So if you're going to be calling on the chariot archetype, which we will talk about, I promise, it's calling on that archetype of success and passion and drive. And so if you need to feel more successful and feel more passionate and feel that you have more drive, like let's say for your career or a promotion or something coming up at work, then you would call on that chariot archetype, meaning that you would ask to have those characteristics present in your personality and in your energy. And really, I do think that initially it is that simple, that you just call on it, you ask for those elements to be within your energy, and you will start to feel them.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the chariot specifically is a transition card. If you were to lay out tarot, major arcana cards, in numeric order, most tarot experts and researchers maintain that the Fool has no number, so he stands alone. And then if you take the other 21 cards in tarot and line them up in order, beginning with the Magician, which is card 1 on your first row, and ending with the Chariot, which is card 7 on the first row, then you move from Strength, the 8th card, to the 14th card, which is Temperance, and then the 15th card, which is the Devil, to the 22nd card in the third row, which is the World. So if you think of those three rows, 1 through 7, 8 through 14, and 15 through 22, then what you begin to see is that there are paths and lessons that the fool learns along the way in the journey to enlightenment. And so the Chariot, at the end of that first row of learning about him or herself, the fool, because we don't know gender, in terms of one's physicality, in terms of one's groundedness and connectedness to the earth, there then begins to be a shift after that transition point with the Chariot, and the fool begins to work on an emotional and a psychological journey where he's gone through trying to figure out what is real, what is magic, what are my responsibilities, how am I supposed to behave in cards 1 through 7. And that's what the Chariot gives us, is that transition. Do you want me to stop there? And you say,
okay, so after you've gone through that journey and you get to the Chariot, the next one is Strength.
That's right.
So that kind of confuses me, because I would think if you get to the Chariot, if it's a journey, right, and you've been the Fool and you've gone through the High Priestess and so on and so forth to the Chariot, I feel like the next card should be one of a little bit of reward or relaxation. The Strength card is no joke.
This is Tarot. There is no reward or relaxation. Oh, no.
Wow.
No, in fact, what you're doing, if you just look at it numerically, is you're building up to an awareness of your own strength. And that strength isn't in terms of physical strength. It's a strength in terms of decision-making and being able to feel and trusting your own instincts and your own intuition. And that's what transitions into the Strength card on the next row.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
That's really interesting. I like that. Okay.
Okay. So let me just talk a little bit about the card itself, and I'm working from the Waite Rider deck here, because this is one of those cards that I love so much in Tarot, because the symbols on the card come from so many different cultures, and I just think this is just amazing. The Sphinx that I mentioned earlier in the meditation, one of whom is primarily dark, one of whom is primarily light, the left and the right, also become, again, symbols in Tarot of finding balance and of those pillars that you see throughout Tarot on so many cards that represent the tree of life and nature and versus spirit, yin-yang, all of that balance theme that runs so much through Tarot. The Sphinx are connected to that. But here's one of my favorite things on this card. On the front of the Chariot is this symbol that is, let me find my notes here. It's a shield with wings above it, and in the center is almost this little symbol, and it's red, that looks like a dreidel. It's a stick with a circle around it. And listen to what that's about, okay? Because I think this is just beautiful. The wings of inspiration above the Hindu sign of union of positive and negative forces. I love.
Can you say that again?
So that winged shield,
right,
represents the wings of inspiration, and on the shield itself, the symbol with the little circle and the stick through it,
uh-huh,
is Hindu sign of union of positive and negative forces.
Oh, the Hindu sign of union. Okay, got it.
Of the union of positive and negative forces. So here we've got Egyptian symbols, Hindu symbols, Jewish symbols with the tree of life, the Kabbalah tree of life, and a whole realm of astrology. There's a ton of stars and celestial influences, lunar crescents, so the divine feminine and the moon. It's just fascinating to me what those symbols on this card says. And here's what Eden Gray says about my discussion a minute ago about dividing this. She says, in this case, the number 7, which is the chariot, indicates that the fool has reached an outer triumph and is ready to learn further lessons in the next 7 cards.
Okay. So it really is a thing of transition. Now, when the chariot comes up for me in a reading, I see that man standing in the chariot and he's whipping those horses, and I feel like it's about the universe saying, you know, time to take action. Are you ready? Are you brave? Are you ready to be brave?
Yes, and are you willing to accept who you are in physicality so that you can then move on to who you are in terms of emotional growth and psychological growth and spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you and I were talking about the stone for your discussion tonight, and I suggested the red jasper. It's because this is such a root chakra card in some ways, in that it's about finding that groundedness, finding that balance, so that you can then have that as a foundation to move on to the next phase of your journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so that you can have that inner drive to move on to that next stage too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to remember that while I'm describing this as a linear journey, in many ways it isn't, because remember, 7 is the number of spiritual mastery. So this is the first of the 7 cards. So we'll have, you know, you'll see 7 repeated again throughout Tarot and other cards. And this is the first of them. It's like on one level, peeling away layers of who we are to get down to the core of who we intrinsically are, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's also about putting on and trying on bits and pieces of who we are so that we're ready to embrace spirit.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the horses on the card? Because I read
Sphinx.
Oh, Sphinx. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk more about that in terms of, like, you know, like in a reading and what that represents?
It's about duality and working beyond duality. You know that wonderful quote from Rumi? He says,
Oh, the field, I'll meet you there.
Out beyond right doing and wrong doing, there is a field, I will meet you there.
Yeah.
I love that. It's one of my favorite descriptions of this notion. And so when you think of black, white, if you think of polar opposites, which the Sphinx represent to us, black and white and yin and yang and right and wrong and, you know, all those different words that come to mind with duality, the Sphinx remind us that to find balance, to actually move the chariot, they have to work together. That place of duality, that we have to go beyond a place of duality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, a long time ago I did a workshop with a lovely friend of mine who is a minister and a psychologist, and she and I spent a lot of time working with that theme in creating that workshop of how do we get beyond that way of thinking, of dualistic thinking. And we, so many theologians today talk about the need to move beyond duality in order really to save this planet.
You know, and it's so confusing too, because I always wonder, is our purpose to learn to move beyond duality, or is our purpose right now just to accept the duality?
Well, that might be a good place to start, but I don't think that's where we really need to go.
No, I don't think that's where we need to go either, but I don't think you can move past it until you've accepted it. It's like how Dr. Phil says, you know, you can't change what you don't own. Do you know what I mean? So, like, how can you change, how can you move beyond the duality of your nature until you own that duality, until you accept it? And that's why I think, you know, the world right now, I think, is in a state of opposites. You know, there's so much good going on in the world, and there's so much not good going on in the world. And I feel like we are reaching this point of contention in the universe where we're trying to learn that opposites can coexist, possibly.
Right. Yes, I mean, we can learn to coexist, but we have to go beyond coexistence. And that's one of the whole points of Tarot. That theme runs through almost every card in this deck in some way or another. Somebody has asked me a question in the chat room I can't answer, but I will look it up and try to mention it next week. Somebody has asked about what is underneath the Sphinx paws. What are they holding in their hands? And I've never read an answer to that question. So I don't know. catnip. No. I don't know what it is, but I will do some more research. I have some other Tarot books, of course I do, and so I will certainly look up that question. I don't know the answer to that. That's a good one. But I do want to focus your attention, for those of some folks have mentioned in the chat room that they have actually pulled up their, gone and gotten their card while we're talking, which I'm thrilled to hear you do that. The charioteer, the king on this chariot, is holding a wand in his hand. And that wand represents the ability to find that balance, to bring together the activity of both Sphinx so that they do pull the chariot in the same direction, which I think is really an important piece of this puzzle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that this card also, as we're still talking about duality, there's a lot of both masculine and feminine symbolism in this card, and that certainly we have this very male figure, this very masculine king in this chariot, and yet sitting on his shoulders are lunar crescents. And the lunar crescents are so connected to the divine feminine energy. And so, again, you see that need for that balance, you know, and both waning, waxing and waning, so that we have that growing and becoming that we see with the waxing moon that we conceptualize as the maiden energy. And then that ability to be wise and to have learned and to release and let go that we see in the waning energy or the crone phase of the moon. I just love that too, you know?
Yeah. It's very, very meaningful. Well, let's talk about Audible real quick, and then I want to talk about some really cool myths and stories that are connected to the chariot archetype.
Okay, gosh, we're at the halfway point. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Okay, so as always, we are grateful to be sponsored by Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/psychicteachers, you'll get a free one-month trial of Audible. This month, I'm recommending, because we're going to be talking about some nice myths. Most of you who are into mythologies probably are familiar with the famous books on mythology, the bullfinches and that type of thing, but There's some new books on mythology that I've been reading with my kids that I really like, and they are on Audible. It's Donna Jo Napoli's books. She has Norse mythology, Egyptian mythology, Greek mythology. So check her out. It's really, really cool to listen to those stories. It's great for car rides and vacations and things like that. It's Donna Jo Napoli, Napoli. I'm waiting for her to come out with some Slavic myths. But anyway, the other book I'm recommending I have not read. So I hate to recommend books that I haven't read. Don't hold me to this one, but I just like the title. It's called What's Tarot Got to Do with It? The Fool's Path to Enlightenment by Jim Larson. And a lot of the reviews say best tarot book ever, best tarot audiobook. So it says that it's about how each tarot card is an archetype and represents a piece of the puzzle of who we are. So I thought it was on point for what we were talking about.
Well, it certainly is. Would you make a note of that?
Yeah, for the chat room.
Yeah.
I'll put it on Facebook.
Oh, good. That'll be great if you would do that. Thank you. I have to tell you all, many, many, many years ago, when I saw my first psychic who told me I should be reading tarot, and back in those days, the belief was that you had to be given a deck of tarot and you couldn't ask for it. And so this long, convoluted story, that my tarot deck and Eden Gray's book showed up at my house as a gift. And I worked for a year learning and studying and reading. And when I went back to see that same psychic the following year, this was in 1983, and she said to me, her first words to me were, "Well, I see you've gotten your tarot deck. Now throw the book away and trust yourself." Well, I've never trusted me. I trust what comes through me. And not only have I not thrown the book away, I probably bought 50 other ones and love to continue to read and learn about tarot. There is something new. I'm teaching a class right now, Samantha, doing a mentoring program with tarot, which I'm going to be opening back up again in the next few weeks for new folks who are interested in joining that. But they asked me a question. The group asked me a question about a figure in the death card and on the strength card, and darned if they aren't the same figure. And I'd never realized that until I had done some research on it for this class. So now, 30-some years later, you know, there's yet one more thing to learn. I just love it.
I love that. There's always something to learn.
Isn't that wonderful? I do too. I just love that.
I also
I'll have you tell us some of your stories.
Okay. No, I just wanted to mention I have a new e-course on Etsy store. I posted it on Facebook. It's 60 pages. And it's everything I have put together in my life to learn how to be intuitive. It includes exercises that teach you how to ground your energy, how to open and close your chakras, how to spin your chakras. It includes crystals to use to open your third eye. There are two meditations in there to open your third eye and to get guidance for yourself. There's a quiz to determine your psychic strengths. There's tips on how to find an intuitive community. There's lots of exercises you can try alone or with a partner to test your intuitive abilities. I counted that. I think there's 15 exercises in there. There's information on pendulums and techniques to remember your dreams, all sorts of good stuff. So it's called Be Your Own Psychic, and it's on my Etsy store, Chakra Chick. It's also connected on my website, SamanthaFay.com.
That's wonderful. You guys go get that. Don't miss an opportunity to get this from Samantha. Oh, and hey, I know there are people who are listening who might like to know this. I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina, at a yoga studio called Celestine Movement and Arts on Sunday, September 18th. I'm teaching a crystal course. So if you can get the link to that off of our Facebook page. But you can also look at Celestine Movements and Arts, and I'll be talking about that more as we get closer. But just if folks are up in that area, they might be interested.
Yeah, and that's on the Facebook page, too. I love the photo that goes with it.
Isn't that nice? And that's from the marketing they're doing for me.
Wow, that's really cool.
It is.
Okay, So when I was doing research on the Chariot as an archetype, some of the things that I came across is that it's about driving your own destiny. And yet, a lot of the things I read talked about how when you are driving your own destiny, you can't hold the reins too tightly. Like, that's part of that duality. Do you know what I mean? Like, having that wherewithal within yourself to know where you want to go and to surrender to it at the same time. I think that's the most important thing to do in life and the hardest thing to do in life. You know, that pull of knowing where you want to go and yet that balance of not wanting it too much.
Yeah, you know, it's like raising children, and I mean, mm-hmm. I know that you're expert, but look how you live every day with the tension of how tightly do I hold on, how much mm-hmm. do I let go and teach my kids. And it's the same thing that we have to learn to do within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even more simply than raising kids, today I was answering an email reading, and someone was asking me, you know, when will she find love? And my guides showed me her chasing a cat down the street. And so I just said, you know, if you want, like, if you chase love, it's like a cat. It's going to run away from you. But if you just stop and you just sit and you're very still and you focus on wanting that cat to come to you, but you just surrender it, that's when the cat comes to you.
That's right, when you just are nonchalant about it.
Yeah. So there are some really neat myths that kind of talk a lot about that balance, about, you know, driving your own destiny. There's the Slavic myth of Dazbog, which is spelled Dazhbog. He was said to be the ruler over the 12 kingdoms of the zodiac, and every day he would drive his golden chariot led by two fire-breathing horses across the sky from his golden palace in the east. And what I love about myths is, okay, like, I never had heard of Dazbog. Have you ever heard of him?
No, you're telling me something brand new.
Yeah, me too. But what's that myth story? That's the exact same myth of the Greek god Helios.
Right.
And I love that there's that commonality among all the myths. So Helios, I'm sure more of you are familiar with. He was the son of Hyperion and Theia. And his sister was Selene, the goddess of the moon. And I found that really interesting because in all the different myth stories I read about, you know, trying to get ready for the chariot, they always have the goddess, the moon goddess being the sister to the sun god, which is interesting because I had heard someone told me a story, Deb, that was a Native American legend, that the moon and the sun were married at one point, and then the sun was like, I can't be with you anymore. You have to be, like, I need my own space. And so she honored that request, but when you see the moon during the day, it's just her missing him.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have, actually.
Okay, all right. It just makes me sad. Every time I see the moon during the day, I feel sad. But anyway. So there are these stories of the chariot, but it's more to do with the sun. So I wanted to talk about a story that had to do with the chariot itself as the archetype. So I wanted to talk quickly about the story of Phaethon, who is Helios's son. So Phaethon, whose name means the shining one, was, according to one version, his mother, Clymene, told him that he was the child of Helios, the sun god, but Phaethon did not believe her. So Helios promised to give him anything to prove he was his father. According to another version, Phaethon's friends doubted that he was the son of a god, so he set out to get proof. When Phaethon's father offered to grant him any wish in the world, Phaethon asked for the reins to the chariot that Helios drove every day across the sky, a chariot pulled by winged horses. Although he tried to dissuade Phaethon from this suicidal request, Helios could not rescind the offer and could only offer vain advice to his son. The horses proved uncontrollable. As Phaethon careened through the sky, the chariot came too close to the earth and burned the lands of Africa. Zeus, afraid that entire the entire earth would be destroyed, struck Phaethon with a thunderbolt, and his body fell into the river Eridanos. Like Icarus, who flew too close to the sun, Phaethon serves as a warning against the recklessness of youth. Helios's granddaughter, Medea, later drove the chariot more successfully when she used it to escape from Corinth after having killed her children. But that's another myth. But I thought that he was, that was a good story to talk about, just because it's about that balance, which Phaethon didn't have. You know, like, he wanted to drive the chariot, but he wasn't ready. And I think that's important to think about, because when you are ready to drive your own destiny, it's almost like that saying, like, the chariot will appear, you know, when you are ready, your boat will come in, your boat will appear. But if you're not ready, you can't drive that success. You can't drive that destiny. So I think calling on this chariot archetype is, again, that balance of, you know, knowing when you're ready. And knowing also what to ask for. You know, Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker, he said that if you're unhappy at all, you need to change your expectations, because he believes that our expectations are the source of all our unhappiness. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, and I'll make my comments after you're done.
No, I was just going to say, so I think that, again, the chariot is about having those, you know, expectations that are realistic and yet hopeful. I always like to try to take our archetype of the month and try to find a fairy tale that corresponds with it. Mm-hmm. And tell me if you agree with me. I was thinking the fairy tale about the fisherman and his wife. Do you know that one?
I know several fishermen fairy
okay.
tales.
So this one is about the fisherman and his wife, and they live in a pigsty, and he goes to fish every day, and he finds this fish who can talk and tells him that he's the prince of all the waters. And his wife says, well, go back and ask him for a beautiful cottage. So he does, and the fish grants him the cottage. And then the wife asks for a mansion, and he grants that. And then the wife asks to be king. I don't know why she doesn't ask to be queen, but whatever, she has to be king, and the fish grants her that, and then she asks to be emperor, you know, and so it goes on and on and on, where it's like never enough for her, and then she finally sends the fisherman back and asks him to grant her dominion over the moon and the sun, and the fish says, go home, and when the man returns, he returns to the pigsty.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Right.
So I think it's about, you know, again, that duality and that balance of knowing how to ask for your destiny, how to claim your destiny, but to make sure it's your destiny and not someone else's, and that you're not asking for too little or too much.
Yes.
Which is hard to do.
It is, because how do we know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you and I teach about finding our destiny and figuring out what we think we want in our lives and what we think we need is always to end that with this or something better.
Yeah.
So that what we're really manifesting is for our highest good.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Sometimes being the having dominion over the sun and the moon and the stars is not for our highest good.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what's so important is when you're going through a dark time to believe that and to hold on to that. Because sometimes the most difficult points of our life are for our highest healing good.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I bet you everybody listening to this show can think of a time in their lives that was horrible while they were going through it, and yet when you got on the other side of it and learned what that experience and that time in your life was really all about, some of the most valuable lessons you learned came from that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, in all the reading I did about the chariot as archetype says that it represents conflict as well, because of that duality and that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to talk about that conflict, because I think so many of us spend the majority of our life avoiding conflict. Now, there are people out there who try to find or create conflict, and we all know who they are. I think most of the people who listen to the show are more along the lines of you and I, where we just would like to not have conflict in our life. And yet, it's within that conflict that we find our growth, and
right.
that we find our change, and that we find our progress.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and I don't think we always know at the time what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we have to have some time and space and distance from the learning to know what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
You and I both have heard from folks much, much later down the road after we've done a reading or done coaching or done whatever, and they've said, you know, at the time I couldn't see what this was all about, but now that I've gotten some distance, I realize what really has shifted and how powerful that shift was in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important to call on the Chariot archetype when you are facing a situation where you know there's going to be conflict. You know how, like, you just know you can't avoid this, it's going to be a difficult situation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say that, you know, let's say you've got to go into your boss and talk about a difficult coworker. You know, those things are just not easy. You can call on this archetype, and you can ask for that archetype to bring you strength. Who would you, like, who could you think of as a person that would represent the Chariot? Like a Ben-Hur type? I'm trying to think if there's, like, a person that would represent that energy of being strong and determined and passionate and yet safe and grounded at the same time.
Oh, that's so funny. And I don't know if this is because of, you know, of course, Ben-Hur and Huell Brenner, but I was also, of course, saying The King and I.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, he was, in many ways, it was a similar kind of character, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just thinking about how if that aspect of the Chariot, of Ben-Hur, of whoever, exists at all, then it can exist in you because we are all connected.
That's right. Yeah, any symbol, any archetype that we find in one of us, we find in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Now, the shadow side of the Chariot archetype would be someone who's kind of domineering, right? And kind of like cracking that whip too hard.
Yes, yes. Or somebody who is, I don't want to say refusing to grow and transition, but on the, well, maybe I do want to say that. Somebody who is very rigid, you know, this is the
mm-hmm.
way we've always done it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my way or the highway kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Like a type A personality?
No, not necessarily
okay.
type A. But
okay.
Somebody who is very dogmatic in his or her beliefs and refuses to entertain the idea that something might be a different way. There might be a different way of doing something.
Oh, a so, black and white thinker.
Yeah, a black and white thinker, somebody who is not, it's stubborn, absolutely, but also somebody who is, well, I'm right, and that's the end of that tune.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's the
yep.
shadow side, the archetype of that person. Whereas in the perfect world, the charioteer finds that balance and honors and moves beyond that duality. The shadow side of that archetype is someone who isn't going to budge, you know.
What about like the little person with the very feathery voice who doesn't want to be too loud and doesn't want to make any conflict and avoids conflict and ducks their head in the sand at all signs of change or chaos? Would that also be a shadow type of this archetype, do you think? My voice just got feathery.
I heard you get feathery. maybe, but when you say that, I hear passive aggressive. Which in
right.
some ways is just, I mean, well, in fact, in my opinion,
it is just
awful.
As aggressive, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who is passive aggressive. But that is also that other side of the controlling, closed-minded, Linda said in the chat room. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Somebody who is closed-minded. You know, those are the folks who, and they're the folks who do gross generalizations. Well, all people do, a certain group do X, Y, and Z, or none of those people do this, that, and the other. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're the extreme thinkers.
Mm-hmm. So the sad thing with this shadow archetype is there's really very little hope for them to change, because those people rarely recognize their own faults. It's everyone else's fault.
Oh, but you know, now I have to disagree with you, because I want to believe that everybody can change.
No, I want to believe that too, and I'm not saying it can, you know, I'm not using always never.
Okay, good.
But I'm just saying, like, in some of the other shadow archetypes that we've talked about, there's a lot of hope for recognition and change. But I feel like in this one, it might be the most difficult one.
It is hard for a person who has the shadow side of the charioteer energy to shift. It is difficult. Absolutely. It is. But I also think that there may be an aha moment, something that is so powerful in their lives,
mm-hmm.
that shift happens, and they realize that they have another, that there's another way to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly seen it with people I know in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think hope and promise is one of the things that you and I focus so much on in the work that we do.
Yeah, for sure. But I think one of the things that we also focus on is personal empowerment. You know, like that's my passion, is reminding people that, you know, you have the power within you. What did Glinda the Good Witch say? You know, you could have gone home the whole time. Yeah, like that's my passion, is helping people, including myself, to recognize and remember that we, you know, we don't have to rely on leaders or counselors or psychics or mediums or, you know, anyone to tell us what to do. We have the answers within us.
Well, Jesus said that, you know.
Okay, Deb, that is just so funny, because okay, so one of the things I was going to recommend before we close out the show is a new book I'm reading called Tarot Spells.
Okay.
So I'm the Christian, and I'm like trying to, I was told that I got this book called Tarot Spells, but I'm not like, you know, I don't do spells, but I love the book because it tells me a lot about each individual card and like how to use them in your own daily life with readings. Anyway, I just think the duality and the contrast of me about to recommend a tarot book for spells and I'm the Christian and you the pagan are calling Jesus.
Well, Jesus said, you know, he said, what I can do, you can do too. You
That's
know.
Right. Yeah. Anything I can do, you can do better.
And that's kind of what Jesus said. So, you know, so here we are, being Deb and Samantha, and talking as if we were the Sphinx on that chariot card, and knowing that it's true. Isn't that wonderful?
We're demonstrating duality, and we meant to do that. It was all planned.
It was not, folks. But isn't that great? Samantha, we are out of time. Thank you all so very, very much for being with us. We hope that this has been a fun and enlightening show for you all, and we certainly hope you have a great week, and we'll be back with you next week.
Yay. Have a great week, everyone, and don't forget to be the light.
Be the light, folks. Good night, and thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.